We thank you for all things. And we pray that thy word may inspire our hearts tonight, that we may press on in the faith to see what all things shall be. We ask all things in Yahshua's mighty name, and we thank you for that. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak with inspiration to the hearts of the people, that we may hold fast to those things that are sound, especially sound doctrine in this hour. I was reading as I left home tonight that actually you can call it a pandemic or an epidemic. A pandemic would be something that covers a vast geographical area. And it touches all people. Yet I was reading how that in the city of New York, that they have so many cases of HIV and AIDS. 25% of the people do not even know that they are even taken by that virus. And they say that it's actually almost in comparison to the third world countries. Some of the nations in Africa, in South America, and it is just overtaking the people because, first of all, they reject truth. And truth is not a part of their habitual lifestyles. Truth is rejected. And so they resist those firm principles that apply to their lives that will bring them under the government of some form of discipline. So they reject that and they deny that. And when a man began to do that, then he began to seek other things to give him some kind of pleasure or satisfaction to his flesh. And the more he began to seek those things, his mind or his thoughts are not on the things that are pure and righteous. So he gives himself over totally unto a sensual appetite. When he does that, then he has no fear for Almighty Yahweh. Because the flesh is enmity against him and it despises him. And so will not do the things that pleases the Father. What a sad commentary that many people are taken by that virus. And they're going to die. Many do not even know they have it. And yet the promiscuity of the young ones, the appetite of wantonness, they began to lust for a sexual appetite. And so they give themselves over unto those things, not even knowing the consequences that will come forth. Without truth in this hour, and that is the law of Yahweh to govern our hearts, we're not going to make it, saints. I want to read from Psalms 15. I want to read that entire book. It's a fairly short one, only 4 or 5 verses in the entire book or the chapter of Psalms. Psalms chapter 15. I want to begin at verse 1. A profound question was asked. David declared, the Psalm of David. He said, Yahweh, who shall abide or live, dwell in thy tabernacle, in thine house, thy presence? Who shall come before you and dwell? That shall be their domain, that they shall dwell in the midst of your presence. He said, who shall live, dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to stand before you in awe to worship, to exalt you and to praise you? Now what a profound question that is asked. Who are those that qualify to dwell in the house of Yahweh? And those that will be able to come before him and offer up oblation and praises unto him. Who are those ones? They must be identified. There must be a seal of approval upon them that they may come into his tabernacle and that they may stand on his holy hill. Not in Jerusalem where they worship Yahweh, but in the presence of his great glory, who shall stand in that place? He declared, he that walketh uprightly, those that have soundness of doctrine and truth in their hearts, those that have the integrity of Yahweh, that they are sincere, that there is a devotion unto Him, and they have declared in their hearts that they will serve Him and the purity of His holiness, His righteousness, that their hearts shall be governed by His laws and His commandments. He is a king and a governor, and so He has an established law in His kingdom. We must obey that. And when a man is upright, the integrity of his commandments and his laws, they are what governs a man's heart. So first of all, they must be upright. Not an unrighteous man, but an upright man. His character personifies the Father. His desire is to please Him. He walks in the integrity of those things that are sound. For they bring about a discipline to his life. He doesn't shun them, but he receives them. So first of all, a man that has an upright heart, his mind, his spirit, his desire is one that is upright. It is not one that is false or filled with hypocrisy, but it is an upright heart. He said, the one that worketh or does righteousness, there's a righteous government in his heart. And so in the context of that righteous government, he does things justly. He judges righteously. His attitude is righteously. He does all things according to the law and the governing power of Almighty Yahweh that's in his heart. Because he knows that the laws of Yahweh, they are truth. And so those laws are what governs his heart, his mind, his thoughts, his desires. It's not governed by the natural desire. It's not driven by his natural urgings or cravings. It's controlled by the laws of Yahweh because he knows that they are pure. His heart is upright. He desired to walk in the counsel of Yahweh's righteousness. So he doesn't allow his heart to be given over to things that will draw him away from the Father. He desires to walk in the presence of the Father. And he has enjoyed that presence of Almighty Yahweh. And he understands that pure presence of the Father. It causes a great delight in his heart. He rejoices. He is full of the goodness of Yahweh, and his heart is satisfied with whatever the Father does. It makes no difference what he does. He delights in that. For he knows that he is a righteous governor, and he governs things according to his own counsel. He doesn't need our counsel to do things. He doesn't need our input to do things. He knows what to do, saints. And so because we are upright, because we understand this doctrine of truth, we know that he is going to do things according to his pleasure. And in the midst of that, because of his pleasure, he delights to do good unto us. And that is what he does. So the man that worketh righteousness, and the one that speaketh the truth, not just a truth or truth, but he speaketh the truth in his heart. There's a truth. There's a law. There is a firmness in his heart. I want to define that word truth in the lexicon. I want to define what it means. It means firmness, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, stability, continuance of a testimony and judgment. It is of instruction. It is true doctrine. And it is truly truth. That is what it is. It is firm. It's what truth is. It is reliable. We can rely upon the truth of Yahweh in the midst of great perplexities and trials, in the midst of distress and complication. We can rely upon that truth. That is why it is utmost important that we get this in our inward parts. We get it in our inward parts. Saul said in Romans, I want to read this. I know exactly what it says, but he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, for I delight in thy law, O Yahweh, after the inward man. He delights in the truth of Yahweh after the inward man. The inward part, the innermost part of a man, down in the depths of his soul, he delights in the law. He delights in the government of Yahweh. For he governs his heart, his mind. He brings stability. He brings a continuance in his life that he walk in a way that is, it has a continuation. He walks in a way that is firm. He assesses his life. He assesses what he does. And he knows that Yahweh has established a firm discipline by his doctrine. And so a man, he walks in that. And in the midst of that, he finds his liberty. He finds strength. He finds peace. He finds surety. He finds assurance. And that is what truth does. When a man understands the truth, it is the liberation of a man's soul. That he is not bound to a natural carnal way of thinking, but there is a spiritual law in the inward parts. And so in the inward parts, we delight in what he tells us to do in the inward parts. Now the flesh never delights in that. It will find opposition against your way. But in the inward parts, when we get that in the inward parts of our souls, we will begin to delight. We'll rejoice in those things. We'll rejoice in his truth and his counsel and his instructions. We must be instructed, saints. We're not instructed by his counsel. We will find ourselves doing just what the world is doing. You will find yourselves consumed with this heathen practice, and the diseases shall come upon you. He warned us not to learn the way of the heathens. And if we learn their ways, then all of these diseases that are upon the heathen shall come upon us as well. That our souls are turned away from him. Our minds never think on him. Our hearts never rejoice when we hear his truth and his proclamations. So our hearts must rejoice. We must delight in the inward part, saints. I delight to do the law, or thy law, or your commandments, Yahweh, in the inward parts. So what he charged us to do, we ought to delight to do that in the inward parts. In the inward parts. Now the flesh will rise up against it, because it is enmity. It cannot savor. It cannot delight in the things of Yahweh. It cannot delight in the spiritual things at all. That is why it will rise up. That's why it will oppose the things of the Spirit. That's why it will resist those things. It must transpire in the inward parts. In the innermost parts of a man, down in the depths of his soul, we began to delight in the law of Almighty Yahweh. What he charges us to do, commands us to do, we take delight in that personally, because he has chosen you and given you a charge and a command of his own heart. The word of Yahweh did not come from some external thing. It came from him. For he is the word. And so he speaks this truth unto us because it all represents him. And we delight to do that in the inward part. We do that because we know that it is the heart of Yahweh that we truly please. Now those that shall dwell in the tabernacle or the house of Yahweh, and those that shall stand in the high place, the place that is lifted up, whereby they can actually see him and understand whom he is, only those that meet the criteria that he has laid out. If we don't meet this, we're not going to see him. We're not going to dwell in his tabernacle, saints. We're not going to live in his house. We're not going to stand in that exalted place with the saints of Yahweh to lift him up, that his name and his glory shall fill all of his creation. So who shall do that? Who will be the ones that will do those things? We must first of all walk uprightly. We cannot work on righteousness. And there must be truth in our hearts that we speak at. When one speaks at the truth, it is a continuance. He doesn't speak folly or lies or hypocrisy. He's not a backbiter or a tell-teller. He speaks at the truth in his heart. He said, first of all, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. You can't backbite with your tongue. You can't spy out the liberties of others and speak against that with your tongue. Do you understand the thing that will turn a backbiter away from you? The scriptures tells us the only thing that will turn a backbiter away. Do you know what it is? I will tell you what it is. I will show you in scripture. There's only one thing that will turn a backbiter away. When we say we love them and be quiet, no, that is not what scripture says. We say, let us be kind to them. That is not what scripture says. Let us ignore them. That is not what scripture says. I will read what turns a backbiter away. It says this. You hold that in Psalms 15. Now I want you to turn to Proverbs 25. I will show you the only thing that would discourage a backbiter. We must do things according to scripture. We can't do it according to our own counsel. This is the only thing that turneth a backbiter away. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. There must be an angry countenance upon the one that is hearing the words of a backbiter to turn them away. That is the only thing that turns a backbiter away. An angry countenance. When your countenance is angry, you reject those lies. You must show that in your countenance. That is the only thing that turns a backbiter away. Just like the north wind driveth the rain away, so does an angry countenance turn the backbiting tongue away. You show that you're not going to receive that, nor will you allow your spirit to be taken under the law of that corruption. That is the only thing. We sometimes think that if we hear them out, if we condemn sin, then that will turn them away. But only an angry countenance. Only that, because Yahweh is angry with the backbiters. And that's why we can do that, because when one is backbiting, then the other smile or show their approval. It's only that angry countenance will turn away the backbiting tongue. Nothing else. The north wind will drive the rain, and an angry countenance will turn away the backbiting tongue. That's why scripture commands us to be angry, but don't sin. You show the anger of your heart concerning that thing, because that one is not going to dwell in the house of Yahweh, nor will that one stand in the high place. They cannot find their way to that place. They cannot find themselves, and they cannot get in the presence of Yahweh whereby they can be exalted by His Spirit. That is a very corrupt spirit, because it spies out others, and it begins to speak. It begins to spy out the liberties and spy out what others are doing. Yahweh doesn't want us to do that. So it's going to take that angry countenance that anger in your countenance to turn the backbiting tongue away. Nothing else. Nothing else. You can't soothe that. That is a very vile spirit. You must turn that one away. You must show it in the anger of your countenance. That you will not receive that, nor will you capitulate unto that spirit. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, nor will he speak slanderous things against his neighbor, nor will he speak lies of reproach, of mocking against his neighbor. He will not do evil against his neighbor. If a man does evil against his neighbor, he is not going to dwell in the tabernacle of Yahweh. If a man bring reproach upon his neighbor, then he speaks slanderous, mocking things of his neighbor without any truth of the matter. He has brought reproach upon his neighbor. And you always say that one cannot dwell in that place whereby they can be endowed with my power. And in this hour, we must be endowed with the power of the Father. We cannot be endowed with a religious spirit or emotionalism. That is not going to take us to this great trial of affliction. It's not going to do that. And we be in the body of Messiah. There is an affliction that is upon the body now. It is not something natural, but it's beyond the natural realm. It's spiritual. And so get down into the deep inward parts of a man's thoughts. His ability to operate, he can't think, he can't function, he doesn't know how to deal with circumstances because the enemy is trying to take control of the central power of a man's soul. And that is his heart. The mind to serve Yahweh, to love him, to bless him, to appreciate him. That is what the enemy is doing, saints. Trying to take control over that. So we can't do our neighbors wrong. We can't do evil. We can't reproach them at all. It says this in verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Actually, he shall stand that despise a vile person. Those that are corrupt. In whose eyes a vile, unclean person, one that has corrupt their hearts, their attitudes, their minds are filled with corruptness. He said, we must despise that kind of a vile person. That's what contempt is. That we literally despise them. He that despise them will not give in to their folly, their sins, will not participate in their activities, will not give strength to their corruption. We can't do that, saints. We can't give strength to their sins and their corruption. We must speak the truth. He said, he that speaketh the truth. Not backbiting, not things that have no power or strength at all to bring any kind of liberty. These are not my words, but this is scripture, saints. He that despise or contemn a vile person. Who is vile? One that despise the oracles of Yahweh. One that reject the truth, the laws, the commandments, the word of Yahweh. That is a vile person. They're very unclean. Their minds are filthy and vile and corrupt. There's nothing clean about them at all. And Yahweh say, if you want to dwell in my tabernacle, you want to stand on that place of high exaltation, then there is a criteria you must meet. His word shall not go out or return void. He intends for this to accomplish the things in our hearts and our inward parts that he has sent them forth to do. He doesn't intend for it to become dormant. That it brings forth no fruits. He intends for to bring forth fruit, an abundance of fruit. That is what the Father wants. He said, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he that honoreth them that fear Yahweh, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He said, there are those that put their monies out to the usury. They loan money to brothers and sisters for an interest on the money. They give looking for something back. They give expecting something greater than what they have given. He said, that is not going to work. And it's not going to work, saints. It's not going to work at all. He that putteth not his money out to usury, to loan it to brethren and sisters and expect a return from them. He said, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Do not do things to bribe those or cause the innocent their hearts to be changed, because you have the authority and the power, the wherewithal to change their attitudes about a thing for your favor. Although you know you are wrong, then you use your character, your personality, your position to bribe, to change, to alter the ability to get in that place whereby they can dwell with Yahweh and be exalted in that place whereby he can literally speak to them. He said, you're not going to dwell in my place. You're not going to walk with me if you do those things. So we can't do those. We must speak at, there must be a truth, there must be a stream of truth that constantly come forth out of our inward parts. And the only way it's going to come forth, we must delight in the law of Yahweh in the inward parts. For it is a law that governs us, and we need laws to govern our hearts, our emotions, our feelings, our thinking. We need a law to govern that. Now the law of our flesh, all things are expedient for our flesh, but it's not the best thing to do. It's not the lawful thing. That's why we need to delight in the law in the inward part. Although it doesn't seem well or good or to the advantage of your desire, but it's still the lawful thing to do and the righteous thing to do. It may seem as though it brings about a disadvantage to you, but it's still the lawful thing to do, and you delight in that lawful thing to do. Although you may lose, you still rejoice and delight in the lawful thing to do. Now that is what the Father wants. For us to rejoice in the things that are lawful to do, although it seems best to do it. It seems expedient. It seems like it's a good thing to do it. But it is not the lawful thing. It is not the thing that He has ordained for you to do, or His law permits you to do. His law doesn't permit you to do it. And so you do the things because of your own advantage. And then you began to speak things to your mind that you even began to bribe yourself. You began to convince yourself that you're right. We need to begin to delight in the law, the truth of Yahweh, in the inward parts, in our inward parts, deep down in the soul of man. Where the breath of life is, there is where the breath of Yahweh is in every man, in his soul. That breath of life is in every man's soul, whether he's a sinner or a saint. Because every man believes that there is an authority and a law that is greater than the laws that he has conjured, or the laws that he has conspired, and that he has brought forth in his own imagination, his own power to govern him. Well, I do this because I want to do it. Oh, I can stop doing that. And yet, he cannot stop doing that. He cannot. And so our strength is there is a delight in the law of Yahweh in the inward part. Well, it's no advantage for my flesh, I understand. It destroys the flesh. It destroys the dependency of the flesh on things that give some strength, but it's actually a false illusion of strength. Because that strength or the desire of the flesh can never be satisfied to a position whereby it will submit to anything. It won't submit to anything. And so we receive this truth in the inward parts, yet it cuts and reproves us, and yet we rejoice in it. Why? Because there's a place that we want to dwell. We want to dwell in His tabernacle, in His house, and we want to be in that place of exalted place in His holy hill, that we will know that He is in the midst, His presence is there, and we exalt Him for this great exaltation and the great lifting up that He has brought us to. He has lifted us up above all of our circumstances. He has lifted us up above the situations of our natural mind. That there is the place we want to get. We want to get there, saints. We want to dwell in His tabernacle, in His house, for He is the great King. There's no other King like Him. None other. His laws are perfect. They are right. His commandments are sure. And they continue forever. So He has given us a government that gives strength. It doesn't take strength from us. The government of Yahweh brings a profound strength in our inward parts. It gives us a tremendous anointing. And the enemy desires us to refuse this government of Yahweh and His laws. And we will have no strength to resist Him. That's our strength to resist Him. To oppose Him. That He will not bear rule over us at all, saints. He says, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. You will never be moved if you do these things. You will dwell in the presence of Yahweh. You will not backbite. You will not despise your brother or sister. You will not use them for your own gain. You will not try to take advantage of them for your own selfish desires and your own gain. You won't do that. You will not make your bow with a vile person, but you will contemn the vile person that despises the law of Yahweh. You will not be given over, or you will not be a strength unto them. He said, only those that do those things, they will dwell in that secret place of the Most High. And I will speak to them. I will open up the understanding of my laws to their hearts, and they will rejoice in the inward parts, that they will know that there's a mighty strength in obeying what I command them. It is the power of obedience is better than any kind of sacrifice at all. Obedience is greater. It is better than sacrifice. Because if you obey, you can sacrifice. If you obey His commands and His laws, you can sacrifice all things. You can present your body unto Him as a living sacrifice, and it will be holy and acceptable unto Him. And you will know that this is not something that is great, but it is just our reasonable service unto Him. And you will rejoice in the inward part that this is the reasonable service that He asks of us. If He asks you to pull a star down from the heavens, you could never do that. If He tells you must span the globe 10 times before you go in, how many of us could do that? If He tells you must swim the Atlantic Ocean from here to Europe, how many could actually do that? Not a man living. Nobody could do that. He just said, there's a reasonable thing I ask of you. Just present yourself to me. You do that, I will sustain you. I will keep you. I will anoint you. I will wash you and I will bathe you. What a profound thing. It's just something that is reasonable that He asks of us. He says it's not a hard thing. It's not something that bear you down. You just present yourself. How? Just present yourself unto Him. What do I do to make myself right? Nothing you can do. You just come before Him by faith. He is the one that cleanseth, purgeth, and sanctify us. He began to pour His truth, His laws down into our hearts, and He began to cleanse us. So we want to dwell in the tabernacle of Yahweh. We want to stand in that place whereby it is a place high above the natural things of this earth. It is holy hill. Your mind is not on the things of this earth. These things grow strangely dim. You're not taken by these things at all. For your affection is set upon the things that are above. You have set your affection on the things that are above and not on the things that are earthly and sensual. That's why you're in that holy place, in that holy hill, whereby there is a reverence unto Him. You know that the only way you could eclipse to that point, it had to come by Him. He had to do the works. It wasn't done by some physical movement. You didn't walk to that place. You did not climb it. If He said, climb Mount Everest, and you will be on my holy mountain, how many could truly do that? Very few. It will cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars just to do that. Well, He shows us in a spiritual realm, just began to speak the truth. Keep the truth in our hearts. Keep His laws in our hearts. His commandments. Keep backbiting. Quit your spying out. Quit your backbiting out. Root that out of your spirit. And the way you root it out of one another, the way we do it, it is with an angry countenance. An angry countenance. What a simple way to do it. Yahweh doesn't make things complicated. He makes them so easy that we can do it. Because that angry countenance shows the anger of Yahweh. He is not satisfied with that. Not at all. Jeremiah chapter 31. It says, I want to get us to that place where we're dwelling in His tabernacle, in His house, in the spiritual house, saints. Not these natural buildings, but in His spiritual house. Look what the word of Yahweh says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Yahweh says, He says, behold, the day come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. He said, listen to this, saints, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, said Yahweh, He shall let them forth by my hand, I brought them out of fierce trials and opposition. I was married to them. They were espoused unto me, and I led them. He did not leave that charge to anyone. He said, I led them out of great poverty of spirit. They cried out. They didn't know who they were crying to. I said, Moshe, and told them that I am the one that they must cry out to and pray to. And so He brought them out of this place of death, bondage, and He set them in a wide place whereby they could truly worship Him, that they could bless Him, that they could acknowledge Him. He said, but in this hour I'm doing something that is much more profound than that. I'm doing something that is going to have a permanent impact. It's not going to be something that is established by some natural law, but it's going to dwell in the spirit of a man. What spirit? Well, the breath that He has put in us. He has breathed in us the breath of life. And so it is that breath, His spirit that is in us. No man knoweth the things of Yahweh. The flesh doesn't know those things. It is only the spirit. And so we need that spiritual law in us, saints. There is a spiritual law that the natural law cannot bring under subjection to it. It may seem the best thing, but there's a law of the spirit. And that law of the spirit, the Messiah, it has made us free. We are free from the law of
walking in sin, and the law of death that separate us from Yahweh, that we are thrust out of His house, that we don't know how to stand upon that holy hill. Messiah said that we ought to be a city that sit upon the hill. We ought to be a light that illuminates His wonderful power, His anointing, and His glory. That's what we are. That's what we are. And we began to realize that walking in His righteous laws, speaking the truth. That is one thing that the enemy doesn't want us to do today, speak the truth. I don't care what the matter is. The enemy doesn't want you to speak the truth. I don't care how immaterial it is, how insignificant it is. He doesn't want you speaking the truth. He's the father of all lies and all deception. And so He persuades us by our flesh to make it more theatrical or to make it more entertaining. That it may be more receptive. That we may be intrigued by it. We may add to it. Our yea ought to be yea and our nay ought to be nay. Anything other than that, there is a sin, or there's a source of sin that lies in our hearts. So ought to be yes, no. Not maybe, so it could be. Yes, no. That is what it ought to be. Anything else than that, there's a corruption there. There is sin. There's a spirit of darkness that is lurking to manifest itself in the inward parts. There is where Satan wants to be. He wants his laws in the inward parts. And that's why we must delight to do the law of Yahweh in the inward parts. In the inward parts, saints. In the inward parts. He says, verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee, house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in the inward parts. You see, that's where He has put His law, in the inward parts now. He gave them a written law. He said, but I will put my law in the inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their father, and they shall be my people. If His laws are written in the inward parts, then we ought to delight to do His law in the inward parts. He has actually, literally written them in the inward parts of our hearts. Not so with Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He said, but this new covenant, I will write it in the inward parts of the hearts of men, that they may delight to do my law from the inward part. When a man under the first covenant, when they saw the things that were required of the sin, what the law commanded, they did delight to do that. They did it because there was a command to do it. They were compelled or forced by law to do it. You see, He has put His laws in a place whereby we know that they are such righteous laws. We just rejoice and delight in them because He has put them in us. And we take delight in that because He has considered you to put a power to govern your soul and the light in you. You are just thrilled to know that He has put them in the inward parts. And you just delight, you rejoice in the inward parts. You just rejoice in that. The old natural man may not rejoice, but then in the old inward parts, there's a bubbling down in your soul. There's a fatness in the inward parts, and it fills the empty places down in your soul. You tell me you've never been like that. You're just sitting. As the old folks would say, the joy would just bubble from your soul. And you would just rejoice in the inward parts. There may not be an expression or anything. But there will be something in the inward parts. You will just rejoice and you will just delight in that. And you find yourself maybe in a little smile. You're by yourself. But yet there is a rejoicing in the inward parts. Now that is what He has done. Put His laws in the inward parts. In the inward parts that they will be protected from every insidious power of hell, that the enemy cannot tear that out of the inward parts. When they understood the law under the covenant, they will see it. And immediately they will read it, they will go away. And the enemy will rip that from their minds. And they will find themselves in sin, doing things that were not appropriate. And so when he said, I won't cast that way. Y'all put it in the inward parts. And you're going to rejoice in that. You're going to delight to do my law in the inward parts. Because you're going to know that I am the one that has given the charge and the command. And I can't make any mistake at all. And what I've done is because I'm mindful of you. What are you that he is mindful of you? That he will literally put his laws in the inward parts? Now that is the covenant of Yahweh. It is a law that he has put in the inward parts. There's a spiritual law. And when you want to do wrong, the law commands you to do right. When you want to do things that are contrary to his will, there's something in your inward parts that reproves you, and you still do what's right. I bless him for that. I thank him. Because if it wasn't for that, then I would and you would, we would do wrong. It's just because he has put that in the inward parts, you can do right. And because he has put that in the inward parts for you to do right, then you just delight in that. You just delight in it. You delight in that. You delight in the law in the inward parts. And your inward part is full with rejoicing and gladness, with thankfulness, with the tears of joy. Why? Because there's something in the inward parts that bring you to a place in his presence. It brings you to a high place. It elevates you above the flesh. When your flesh want to bring you to subjection and bondage of that law, it elevates you to a law in a spiritual place far above your flesh. You're not bound. You're not brought under the captivity. But that you're free. You're free. He said, if you continue in my word, my truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye are my disciples, you continue my word. Continue my word. You will be my disciplined ones. Continue my word. And you will know the discipline of doctrine. And he said, then you will know the truth. And then that truth will make you free from all bondages of the flesh. We must be free in this hour. He has not purchased us to make us indentured servants unto our flesh. He has not purchased us to make us slaves unto the carnality of this hour, of this world. He has purchased us to make us free. And whom he has made free, we are free. And indeed we are free. Why? Because there's a law in the inward parts that he has placed in the inward parts that we delight to do. And we rejoice in that. And the world doesn't rejoice in that, saints. But we do. He said, I'm going to write them in the inward parts and write them in their heart. And I'm going to be their father. And they're going to be my people. You that his law is written in your inward parts and your heart, you are his people. He is your father. Do you hear that, saints? When you want to do wrong, yet the law makes you do right. When there's a drive to do things that are just totally opposed to him, the law that is written in your soul, it makes you do right. It's not by any of our deeds or actions, anything we have done. It's because he has placed a spiritual covenant in your soul, a law that transcends the flesh. And although it is expedient, it is the most urgent thing for your flesh to do, you can't do it. Why? Because there's a lawful spirit in the inward parts, and your heart will not allow you to do it. He has done something profound for us. You are his people, for he has put a governing power in your heart and your inward parts. When you want to turn away, he won't allow you to do that. Why? Because there's a law that he has placed there. And when we understand the importance of that, we will begin to rejoice in his law. In the inward parts, saints, it will cause our inward parts to be full, to be satisfied, and we shall have enough. When it seems as though we have nothing, we will still have enough. He's going to take that for this hour. That is the place he wants us to get. That's where he wants us to get. And knowing that he has written this pure law, my, to think that the Father has taken
taken his hand and wrote that law in your heart, saints. How does he do that? When the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and yet he has wrote something in your heart. And he said, I will make sure that it will stay there because I've put a breath in you. And I'm going to make sure that it's in the innermost parts of you. Everywhere you go, there's going to be a law there. When your right hand wants to do something wrong, the left hand says no. When the old left thumb wants to do something to oppose to the heart, then the old right thumb says no. He said, I'm going to make sure saturate the inward parts of a man, and his whole body will be saturated. His mind, his thoughts, his heart, his feelings, his emotions will be saturated with this law that I have written in his heart and placed it in the inward parts. Only the Father can do that. Only he can do that. It's not going to come by some theological approach. It's going to come by him. And the reason he does that, he wants us to know that we are his children. That's why he has put it there, because he wants you to know that these are mine. He's going to govern his. He's going to make sure that they are governed. He is. And they're going to be governed by truth. We're going to be governed by truth, saints. It's going to be firm. It's going to have a continuance in our inward parts. That truth is going to continue even though that we have a sense of backsliding. The truth is still going to continue. There will be a surety of the truth. When you're in doubt, the truth will still be sure. When you are uncertain, then the truth will confirm itself. For there's a great witness that he has placed in our hearts, in our inward parts. He has written his law, his covenant in us, and that truth will bear witness of the truth of the law and his covenant that he has placed in the inward parts and in our hearts. We may not have thorough understanding, but we will know that there's a witness there. We will know that. We will know that. Because we will know that we are his. Jeremiah says in verse 34, he said, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, will not need to be taught, and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says Yahweh. And I will forgive their iniquity. And he said, I will not remember their sin anymore. I will not remember that. He said, I will forgive their iniquity. And there will be no sin that shall be remembered anymore. Why? Because there's a pure law that I will write in the inward parts. And they will delight to know that they are being governed by me and by my law. And they will rejoice in that. That's what he wants us to do. We know that we've been governed by him. His laws are the strength of our souls. We take delight in that. There's a breath when it seems as though that we're dying. When there's no spiritual life in us. When there's no hope to be found. And yet there's a life that comes from our soul. Why? Because there's a law to let us know that we are his. And that all of our iniquities are forgiven. And all of our sins, I don't care what they are, what they have been, how it seems, it has been done. They are forgiven and we're cleansed of that. He did not change that with Messiah. He brought the fullness of that. That we can be sure of all things. We just walk in the light of the Spirit. We're not like the Pharisees. We're not like the scribes. We delight to do his law, his will, in the inward part. To suffer with him, delight to do that. To be afflicted with him, delight to do that. To be hated because of him, delight to do that. There's an inward rejoicing in that. And when it seems as though that you're at the lowest ebb, he brings you up to that high mountain. That place of his holy hill. He sets you on that holy hill. And all of a sudden he begins to open your eyes with just a scintilla of truth. And his truth began to fill your heart. Begin to open up your mind and your spirit. You began to delight and to rejoice in that. He wants you to know that we are his children. He has placed a law in us and a covenant to give us hope, and we can rejoice in that, saints.
The Messiah came to give us that hope, and we can rejoice in that hope.
And he has placed that in our hearts. I believe it. He says in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Messiah, as he spoke, he says this, Luke 11, 39. Yeshua said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? He said, but your inward part are full of raving and wickedness. You see, that is what the Pharisees, their inward parts, the religious order, the religious world, their inward parts are full of raving and wickedness. He has filled your inward parts with his laws and his government. That's the difference between a Pharisee and those that have been espoused unto the Father. He said, you religious scribes that think you know me, think you understand my truth. He said, you're full of raving. And you're full of wickedness. You clean the outside of the platter. You make things look religious and sound and look good. But inside you are full of raving and wickedness. We're full of his law. We may not understand it all. You may not have the proclivity to grasp everything. But yet he has written it in the inward parts. And in our hearts. That's good enough for me. That's sound enough for me. He says in verse 40, he calls them fools. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without, made that which is within also? He said, don't you understand, if you get the outside looking all right and righteous, don't you know the one that made the outside made the inside too? And so if the outside is right, then the inside must be right too. You can't walk in hypocrisy and pretend that there's a righteous law about you, and yet inside you're full of raving and wickedness. And yet there's a pretense there, there's a falseness there. He said, you can't do that. He called them fools. He said, you are a fool to think that you're going to get that over with the Father. He sees the outside as well as he sees the inside. He sees both at the same time. He said, you are a fool to think that he that made the flesh, he did not make the inward part show. He was the one that put breath in man. He was the one that put the life in man, the spirit. He put the spirit in you, saints. He put the spirit. You became a living soul. An embodiment of him. There are many dead souls on the earth. There are men that are living, but yet they are dead. And yet he has breathed the breath of his life into you. And he gives us confidence in that through his truth. Through his word. That we become living epistles. We're not dead epistles. We're living epistles. We're living examples of what the Father does. And who he is. Why? Because he is in us. He dwells in us. His Lord dwells in us. And he will not do anything in us according that disapprove his laws. Everything he does is in appliance and according. Why? Because he put that there to be a great witness in our souls' sakes. What he's trying to tell us is that he loves us. He cares for us. That's what he's trying to tell us. That I married to you. I cleanse you from your sins and all of your corruption. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show us that there's a heart for us. What is man? That he is mindful of him. What is man that he must be clean? What are we that we must be clean before him? And yet he has sent a word to sanctify us, a law to cleanse us. It's nothing like a man tried in the court of law for a crime. He knows that he is innocent. And then the judge with the gavel says, innocent. There's like a rebirth in him. There's like a cleansing that overtake him. That is what it's like. That there's a refreshing in the man. And that is what the Lord Yahweh does for us. It is like a refreshing. It is like a cleanser. Why? Because the witness of Messiah says that there's hope and confidence in that order. You just obey and you will eclipse to that place whereby you will truly see the Father. What father doesn't want to see his children?
He wants to deal with each of us individually and personally. I believe that. That's why Yohanan said to Geisha, you need no man to teach you. I believe that. The Spirit. He has given unto us the Spirit, saints. Because of the law of this flesh seems like everything is expedient to do. But it's not lawful. The Spirit says it's not lawful. Then He must bring us back unto that law. And show us what things we must do. And I'm grateful for that. I thank Him. I want to read a few scriptures from Psalms chapter 51. We must desire this in the inward parts. Psalms 51, verse 6. Your way desires this truth dwelling in us in the inward parts. David said that his mother, he was born in iniquity. And in sin did his mother conceive him. He said, but behold, Psalms 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. What is truth? Well, his laws are truth. He desired truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He desired truth in the inward parts. In the inward parts of man, he desired truth. And we ought to desire truth in the inward parts, saints. In the inward parts, we ought to desire truth. It can't be something of hypocrisy and deceitfulness. But our inward parts, down in our souls, we don't want anything to contaminate us. To pollute us. To cause our hearts to be hardened and our spirits to be hardened. He desired that in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. David says in Psalms 119. 119. 150. Psalms 119, 150. They draw nigh that fall after mischief. They are far from thy law. Those that follow after mischief, sin and lies and backbiting, they're far from the law. He says in 151, he said, thou art near, O Yahweh, and all of thy commandments are truth. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. He desired his commandments in the inward parts of man. All of his laws are truth. And he desired that in our inward parts. He wants that in the inward parts of man. Not in the exterior, but in the inward parts. Down breathing, bringing life to our souls. That's what he wants. All of his commandments. All of them. They are truth. Not truths, but truth. They are verity. They are true. They are sure, all of his commandments, for he has written them in the inward parts, saints. We know even these things, we don't do them because there's something that will not allow us to do them. There's something in our inward parts, because he desired truth in the inward parts, saints. 160, the verse 160 of the same, Psalms 119. He said, thy word is true. Psalms 119, 160. Whose word? The word of Yahweh is true. Where? From the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. From the beginning, his word is true. His word is a sure word. It is a firm word. It is a word of confirmation. It is a word that is steady. It is a word that continues. So his word is true. It has hope in it. We have assurance in the word of Yahweh from the beginning. And all of his judgments, they are righteous judgments. And they endureth. They stand. Even when we reject them, when we resist his judgments, they stand. And they shall be established forever and forever. And that is the truth, saints. We will find our great rejoicing and our happiness. David says in Psalms 146, verse 5 and 6.
He says this, Psalms 146 verse 5 and verse 6, happy is he that hath the father of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his father. Why? Because he made heaven and earth, the sea, and all the things therein, which keepeth truth forever. So he never denies truth. That's why we ought to speak truth all the time. He keepeth truth in our hearts forever, saints. And we that know him, we are happy. Why? Because we know who he is. He keeps truth forever. His judgments are righteous judgments. And so when he judges us, we take delight in that. It is our correction to keep us in line with this law that he has placed in our hearts and the commandments that he has written in the inward parts. So we rejoice in that. We're happy because of that. Because that is his power to keep the iniquity out of us. That we sin without any thought of any consequences. When a man is walking in the hardness of iniquity, he has no fear of Yahweh. He doesn't even think about the consequences of his sins. He transgressed without even thought. And his wickedness is so exceedingly wicked. He thinks that judgment shall never come upon him. And there's no law to govern nothing he does. Everything that he can conceive or think of, he finds a right slack for it. And he justifies that. That's what he does. But he's a fool. He's going to lose his soul. Solomon says in Proverbs 3, verse 3. I close with this verse. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them. Now you write them upon the table of thine heart. Just as sovereign choosing. Knowing that he has chosen you, the mercies of Yahweh, and the truth of his commandments and his laws. He said, you write them, you draw from them from your heart, saints. Don't let nothing interfere with that. Don't allow anything else to be written there. Don't allow the hatred or the despondency. Don't allow those things to be written there. You write them, you allow them to fill your heart. You allow them to fill your heart. That's what you do, saints. You don't allow the things that the world, what it does to cause those things to be thrown out of her. But you write them. You bind mercy and truth about your neck. You draw close unto that. Thank Yahweh that he has shown mercy unto you. That he has just elected you. Not because of any works you've done. Not because of any prayer of anyone. He simply elected you, period. And he said, you ought to be thankful. You ought to think of that and to be thankful of that. Yeah. It was not anything any of us done. Yeah. Not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love toward us, he saved us. It wasn't by our works and deeds that we have done. It wasn't by your mother, father praying. It was just by the sovereign election of Yahweh. So you bind this about your neck. You let that be close to you. Because you know that he has done it. He doesn't want to give his glory to anyone else. You're going to be thankful unto him. You're going to be thankful unto him. He will not give his glory to anyone else. He will not allow anyone else to take his glory. He is the one that has done it. And he wants you to know that he has done that. And that's why he has written his covenant, his laws in our hearts and in the inward parts. That you will know that it's him. You did not do it. He wrote them there. So what do I do? Just as you write something down, you copy it over. Just write it there. Just let it come forth in your mind and your spirit. And it will bless you and enrich you mightily, saints. So allow truth to continue to be spoken out of your mouth. Because you know when it's spoken out of your mouth, there's a law of righteousness that governs your soul. When you speak truth continuously out of your mouth, out of your spirit, you know that there's a law of righteousness that governs you. And it's the law of Yahweh and not the law of man. May he bless you. Give you strength and peace. I pray that the word will help you tonight. The truth of Yahweh, let it govern your soul and your heart, saints. Let him bless you and enrich you. And he shall give you peace and strength. Be encouraged. I shared that way. Yes, be encouraged. Just encourage yourself. Say, help me, Father. Lift me up. He'll do that. What a wonderful master he is. What a great father. There's none like him. Even when you're weary, he will give you strength. Even when your heart weeps, when no one else knows that it's weeping, he will draw the tears. Hallelujah. And just bless him that you have tears that you can weep with. It's a cleanser. It's a cleanser. That's what the tears are. They are cleanser. I want to read this last verse. I intended to read this. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. This is the only way you're going to cleanse the inward parts. This way. It says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. It says, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. So it takes stripes, his rod of correction, to cleanse the inward parts of our belly. It takes the rod of Yahweh to cleanse the inward parts. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And so he must rule. It takes the rod of stripes to cleanse the inward parts of the belly. So that's how he cleanses our inward parts, with stripes. Be blessed and keep you. Be encouraged, saints. I love you all. I bless you all tonight. Just be faithful unto him. He will bless you. Hallelujah. Let us stand to our feet. I want the brothers to get some rest. Hallelujah.